Hey guys, this is John
and Austin,
and this is another episode of the Meatgistics podcast. Now we're gonna do something a little bit different here. We're gonna cook on the podcast. We've got these, well, that's not easy open at all. We've got these Gary's Quick Steaks, and supposedly they go from frozen to fully cooked in 3 minutes. Now, it's a little bit of false advertising because it's not actually a steak. It's more like steakums, kind of.
Is it like thinly sliced meat that's then pressed into a patty?
I believe so.
Okay.
So they come in these little rectangles, and we're going to put one on. We're going to leave it on there for 30 seconds. Then we're going to flip it, and then we're going to put on that Wow seasoning, which maybe we want to send them a cease and desist letter if we still own.
Oh, no, that's all dead.
That's all gone?
For those that are longtime customers, you'll remember our Wow seasonings line. To be honest, it was a great idea. It was too early, and we didn't do it right. We probably could do it again, and if we did things differently, it would be successful. But we used to have breakfast sausage, jerky, summer sausage, snack sticks, all kinds of stuff in shakers, which actually now would probably appease a lot of people, because a lot of people are like, hey, can we get stuff in like 5 pound batch bags? So we used to do that. And there just wasn't enough demand for it at the time. And then I think some of it's on us. I don't think we did it right either. But who knows? Maybe we'll bring that back someday.
Oh, that's 30 seconds. That's super fast. I don't think this thing's right. Okay, so now we should have another 2.5 minutes.
Two and a half minutes until it's done.
Okay, I thought it was like 30 seconds, 30 seconds seasoning, and you're done, because that's scaring me, because the stuff's frozen. So we'll see. My hopes aren't super high here, although it's steak, so on the other hand, I'm maybe slightly excited to try it.
It's not going to be bad.
So this is probably better than what I was going to bring on the podcast. To be honest,
I don't know that yet.
I don't even remember exactly what I was going to bring on, to be honest, but I will still buy it and bring it for another episode sometime. But I was at Menards last weekend, I think, and they had some just really weird, like, canned meat stuff. And I was like, ooh, that's, we've got to try that on the podcast. And I was like, but I'll come back and buy it later. And my wife's like, what? Why don't you just buy it now? I'm like, I don't want to split it out. That's a work expense. I'm not buying that with my own credit card. It's not like it was that much anyways. It was probably like $2 for a little small can, like the size of like a green chilies can. It was a very small deal, but.
Well, I got that new Arby sandwich today. Can I get my review of that?
Go really ahead. Quick? Get into
like
it.
I got a second. Dude, I told John earlier, I was like, worst sandwich experience of my life. Really? And it started from, all right, I get to the drive-thru window. The only good thing about this is how quick and efficient that was. You got in the order, boom, bam, total, got to the window, paid. Now we're waiting on the drink. Get the drink. It's all filled with ice. The straw can't pierce it. I'm trying to get the straw in. I'm laughing. I go, this is a joke, right? And I'm just trying, like, by the time, like, it took me over 20 seconds because they're now giving me my brown paper sack filled with, I go, okay, fine. I'll take the lid off. We'll go it old school. So I get here. First bite, you know, it's immediately like, oh, this is not edible. Like all the meats either got to a giant gristle or something. So I look at it. I got like the end cap.
Oh,
and this
no.
is that new like prime steak, prime meat sandwich, whatever it is with it advertises with crispy onion things on top. Not crispy. No crisp. The bun was just soggy all to heck. And flavor wise, fine. But just the sandwich was ruined from the very first bite and the very first straw push. So, needless to say, you know, I give it a 4.6 out of 10. So it was just bad. It was just very bad.
We should have like a weekly check-in with like some sort of food rating. Kind of like Dave Portnoy does
podcast and just let him rant about local
food. Dude,
he had me in stitches one day with a rant about I can't remember what it was.
I mean, if it's food related, it perfect. Somehow is applicable to food or the food supply chain.
Yeah.
I'd say it accurately fits into our podcast.
People think I'm angry. He's the angry one.
Oh, man. Well, you spent, you know how much food costs nowadays?
Like, uh-huh. Yes. I've been talking about this for going on 2.5 years now.
It's just like if a place is super convenient, the food's going to suck. If you're sitting there waiting forever, you convince yourself it's going to be good. But then it's just like, how much money am I really spending at lunchtime if I'm out, if it takes me 40 minutes to get back and clock in? So
yeah,
it's a give and take on it, but it's weird. There are a few spots. There's a Korean place right across the street. You get a little lunchbox. Oh, actually, I take that back. I got that yesterday. It was supposed to be like an $8 thing after tax, this and that. I almost spent like $20. So I was like, yeah. It's affecting everybody. But yeah.
So if you're out like fast food or like sit down or like fine dining, like if maybe there's a difference in one place or another, but if something's wrong with your food, how apt are you to like say something, or do you just deal with it?
I'll never send it back for like preference. You know, if it's something that's a like, oh, I prefer it this way. But if there's something like wrong, like undercooked, or I saw a buddy like rip into an Applebee's steak one time, or like not a single bite was like malleable, or like it wasn't able to be processed by human teeth and a throat. Like it's just so stuff like that I would send back, of course, like if none of it. But if it's just a flavor thing, that's on me. You know, I'll learn for next time.
Oh, I thought this was supposed to stay as like.
So did I when I went chunk. To buy it.
Oh, no.
And then once I got there, I realized it was a bait and switch.
Okay.
So it does look like Steakums more than anything.
It's Steakums, but here's my review without tasting at all. It's Steakums just in a less convenient manner.
Yes.
It smells good.
Sure. Steakums are delicious too. Now I want Steakums.
Aren't they microwavable?
Steakums?
I'm asking. Well, I guess not by that pitch.
I always put them in the pan.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Yeah. Tastes like Steakums.
How much does it cost?
It was not expensive. I think that like, package of three of them was like $5.49 or something.
Okay, so there's probably 12 ounces to a pound in there?
Something around that, yeah.
That's not bad.
No, taste-wise, it's fine. Steakums are more convenient. They cook quicker.
Steakums? You guys talking about Steakums in there? Steakums? Shenanigans?
Flavor, though, is good.
It's a little chewy.
So we're Steakums.
I don't know what that is. Mm. So
it's like the same size, maybe a little bit bigger. But it's just super thinly sliced, but it's all one solid piece. So you put it in a pan, frozen, 30 seconds, it would soften up and cook one side. You flip it over another 30, 40 seconds, and that side was cooked. And you just put it on bread.
Nice.
So Gary's, what is it? Gary's sizzling quick, minute steak or whatever.
Gary's quick sizzle steak.
Lies about how quick it cooks, because it did not cook in 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Anything that starts off with a guy's name and food is just like, I'm probably not going to buy it. Gary's, you know, Newman's Own Dressing. I'm not having that.
That's Paul Newman, sir.
Oh, is that really who it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you not know that?
I didn't know that was Paul Newman. I knew it was Newman's.
So all of the proceeds from that go to the Newman, is it called the Newman House? Where they,
like that,
yeah. Yeah, where they like take care of sick and like dying children. So,
then this one's Jerry's kids.
Gary's kids.
Oh, sorry.
A lot. I didn't realize that was who that was. But Newman's has like a black bean salsa that is very good.
Mm?
I'm usually not a big fan of like just plain store bought salsas. But that is one that like, I don't see it every time when I'm at the store, but so I don't know what's up with it. But if I see it, I get it. It's good.
Seasonal, maybe?
Maybe. Some people that are fans of like Pace salsa are just, ugh, kills me. I say that.
And my wife likes Pace.
I hope my wife is listening.
Yeah, my wife likes Pace too.
She loves Pace.
Nope. I've got her switched. Two best salsas that you can buy commercially, in my opinion, which is the opinion that matters, are Aldi's Mild. It's amazing. And Sam's Club. Sam's Club has a fresh with cilantro. That's just...
Yeah, yeah.
That stuff's awesome. I put it on all my wraps or burritos, whatever you want to call
them. Sam's and Costco both have good ones there.
I'm not sure I've ever shopped at a Costco.
You want to go sometime?
I don't really feel like I need to.
Logistics field trip?
No.
It's a date.
Maybe we go review their $1.50 hot dog or whatever it is, 99 cent.
Yeah, I don't know.
One where the guy threatened to kill somebody if they ever...
I didn't realize they had hot dogs. Normally we go there, they have like pizza... and like
Sam's has pizza,
chickens. So is Costco. Chicken stuffed, like they're like hot, big hot pockets.
Okay,
and then you always got to get a. If you're getting food, you got to get the. Gosh, what are those things called? It's like a Mexican dessert thing.
Empanada?
No, a churro.
Churro.
Yeah, churro. Yeah, yeah, churro. But the reason I like Costco for like meat stuff is that I haven't been to Sam's in a while, but for a long time, Sam's only had bone in pork butts. And I hate that. Drives me nuts.
Me.
Costco has boneless.
No, they have boneless good amount of time.
Okay.
Right there. Yeah. The what makes the Costco hot dog so good and so affordable is like the owner or like the founder or something. Someone's like, hey, we're losing money on these hot dogs. We're going to need to raise the price. And I think he threatened to kill him. He's like, if you ever raise the price on that, I'll kill you.
That's amazing. So
he wants them like a super inexpensive treat for
I feel like
people to be able to get their kids.
The common denominator, all the best hot dogs I've ever had is like they're slightly undercooked in a way. Like my buddy had this method of like no more than 30 seconds. Like you'd go like hot dog for 20 and then on a bun for 10 total. So it'd be 30 seconds total in the microwave. And I go, yeah, right. It's going to be super cool. No, it tasted like the ones you get like from a baseball game or something. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever cooked a hot dog in a microwave.
I would say hot dogs.
Ever?
I don't think so.
Man, like how many times have you just like loaded up three hot dogs in the microwave with buns waiting? Yeah, dude, like I'm talking literally hundreds of times in my life growing up.
We had a microwave. We'd use it for like popcorn, but there was never any cooking going on in the microwave.
If I ever could host
warm something up. He's cooking hot dogs.
If I could host a show, it's showing you what you can do with a microwave.
I hate a microwave.
Maybe we need to have an addendum to Will It Barbecue and we're going to do Will It Microwave.
We have our own spinoff of
that. That's not bad.
Honestly, it'd be worth trying. We could
that would be
Will It Microwave on steak. Like do something like that whole muscle. You're cooking the whole thing in
and
there.
And then we
got to eat
plug
it
into there and we knock out half the power grid of Walton's.
We're doing
your
that
computer, my computer. It makes no sense what's on what either. Like
I know,
that goes up this way into part of purchasing, then across
in my office,
skips all those. Your office, my wall.
It's a mess.
It is what it is. What can you do? Okay, so Gary's, while they were good, it lied about how quick it would be cooked, and Austin's clearly trying to win our weight loss competition here.
Probably not. A Quick Trip pizza today.
Oh, see. The number one leading right now, I think, with just a single vote, is vegan diet for a week.
No.
That's the worst one. I was looking at them again when I was putting it in the post. I'm like, I would rather do any of those other ones more than vegan diet.
Whoever loses will catch up to the other one. Like, even if you're like 20 pounds ahead of me, I might lose 20 pounds in a week eating a vegan diet because it's not going to be good. Yeah. I'll probably end up mostly starving myself because I won't want to eat a ton of food.
It's like salads. Can't put chicken or anything good in it.
Oh.
Be a lot of salad with I don't know what kind of dressing. It's not going to be good dressing. If it's not milk-based dressing, then I'm out.
And you can't, yeah.
Honey mustard. You can get vegan honey mustard.
Honey? Probably. Did you say honey?
Oh, dang it. See, this is horrible. That's disgusting. Can't do it.
Hey, sir, balsamic. Bees made that. Vinaigrette. It's not for you.
Oh.
What about a vinaigrette? Does that count?
I think you're okay.
I guess it depends on which kind.
I'm sure it does.
We're going to have like a week or 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, like for research. If we have to do that to research and plan out a diet for the week because stuff like that. I'm like, oh, I could eat honey mustard. Nope. Can't do it. It's horrible.
Yeah. Honestly, a good punishment for you might be forcing you to keep a food journal so you then on the podcast we get to review everything you ate.
Those aren't fun. Those are hard to do.
Nobody likes doing that. That's why nobody does it, and that's why all food journal studies are nonsense.
You go,
yes,
what did I have 4 hours ago? I have no clue.
I mean, they've shown it multiple times. They just have someone keep a food journal and they put cameras in their house and they compare
what they
actually ate with what you wrote down. Like, well, you didn't write down, you know, that half a bag of chips you wrote or ate while you were walking back and forth.
Doesn't count.
So, yeah.
Or even if they write down like, oh, I ate like one serving of chips. You actually look at like what a serving size of something is. And most people eat like three or four servings at one time.
Seven, probably. All right. There is it's not new necessarily, but Midwest Meats in Abilene, Kansas. They opened about 9 months ago now, probably. Their Facebook page, I highly recommend anybody who's interested in this industry at all, go check them out. Because they've got some really cool updates on how things are going, like their rail systems. They have multiple posts about putting in the rail system. They're doing some mobile delivery stuff too. And then farther down on the Facebook page, they have a couple of haul grinder or mixer grinders in their kitchen, which is awesome and seems... I don't know if they're daisy chaining them or whatever you want to call it.
Most people do.
What is the other term for daisy?
Gemini.
I don't know if they're Geminiing those, but it's pretty awesome. Plus, they've got a cool image of their family at the top of it. So I'm assuming this is a family business. Pretty cool. So Midwest Meats, if you're anywhere near Abilene, Kansas, go check them out. Another thing, Friday, I'm going to be on Tyler Webster's The Birds, Booze, and Buds podcast. I think that's going to release the next week. He's got some wild game question stuff he wants to talk about. So that should be a ton of fun. So look for that on his podcast in the next couple of weeks. Don't know exactly when. All right. Do you want to get to it?
Let's do it.
Yeah, I think you need to lead this part, knowing the questions that are coming.
Oh, I need to lead it?
I would say.
Okay. Okay, so getting into the questions portion of the podcast.
You started this. Let's make that clear.
Yeah.
What's coming is your fault.
Oh, okay. Now I understand why I'm like, why are you're giving off like a sour vibe here. So, okay. I got it. Okay. So, as long as people keep asking questions, we'll keep posting a topic out on Meatgistics before we record the podcast. So people can ask something, we'll answer questions. And so
did you do a new one?
I did a new one.
I'm good. Ignore me.
Don't look at me.
Yeah. So
this is from the first post.
No, this is from, I posted a new one on like Monday afternoon.
No. Okay.
So
I thought it was a continuation of that first post.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
I would have posted it sooner, but I forgot. And I was like, it was towards the end of the day, Monday. And I'm like, oh crap, I need to post something.
Those posts are to be known as Ask Austin from now on.
Okay.
Alliteration.
But if you're listening, you have a question you want to ask John or I, it can be meat related, not meat related, whatever. We'll try to answer everything we can. I say try, cause I don't think John is going to answer.
Oh, I'm answering them all.
Oh, okay. This is going to be fun then. So, the first question is my question. And is it true that Team Blue members are statistically more likely to become vegetarians?
No, and this is actually stupid. I mean, I'm famous for eating ridiculous amount of steak every week, so clearly not.
I couldn't come up with anything more clever at the time. I just had to put something in fun there. Okay, so.
All right, so I'll ask you this one since it's a question to you. Who is your favorite employee at Walton's and why?
Austin.
Nope.
I'm an employee.
Can't be you. Can't be you.
It wasn't part of the rule.
Can't be you.
Then my favorite employee is, that should be an easy one. Do you want to guess? You don't want to guess.
Your mom.
Linhart?
Sandy?
Oh, that's
Sandy,
right. Yeah, Walton. That's easy. That is super easy.
I can't not say her or she would get very angry with
so
me.
So Sandy comes into my answering too. So I use that as well.
So John, which of the three owners is your favorite and why? Hint, you might want to pick the one who sets your wages.
So this isn't fair to Dylan because I work with him by far I've worked with him by far the least, right? Because I've actually never reported to Brett. But Brett was, you know, when I first came here, he was the biggest personality here and the most all around. But I would say he's probably not, I mean, you and I are beyond, like, we're very much employee and employer, but we're also friends. So it's unfair to the two of them, but I mean, it's to you, unfortunately.
I don't know if you're serious or sucking up, but serious. I'll take it.
Hey, if Allie were to come back, it would be Allie in a second. So don't worry about that.
Well, technically, if she came back, she wouldn't just automatically be an owner. You've got
She'd have to buy in.
One, she has to buy in.
Yeah.
And two, I don't know. for her leaving for a penalties? While. We might see what kind of penalties it would take for her to get back status there.
All right. So what are your top five breakfast sausage seasonings? Now, this one, I'm assuming he means by sale, but also I also think we should approach it by flavor. So for me, number one is Holly.
Yeah.
At all the ones I have, Holly is the one that tastes like most traditional but delicious breakfast sausage.
Yeah. To me, like Holly is like Willie's in the snack sticks.
Yeah.
You can try all these different ones and you're like, man, that's good. I like this. I like that. And then you go back and have Holly again and you're like, oh my goodness, that is why that one is so good. Because there's nothing too fancy about it. It's just a very good solid seasoning, but it doesn't have anything in it that's gonna just set itself apart. It's not a jalapeno, it's not a habanero mango, it's nothing like that, but it's just very good.
It's a classic taste. Now the number two for favorites, I think this is probably where we would differ, because I go to H110C. I love the H110C. It's got some heat to it, but still tastes like a traditional breakfast sausage.
I would probably skip. I'd probably put that at number three. It probably used to be a number two for me, but I'm getting old and my stomach is sensitive and I can't eat spicy things.
Okay.
And so I would eat that and I like it. I'd eat a lot of it and then I would regret it.
Right.
I eat stuff with, I mean, in the picture you can see how much red pepper's in there. I eat red pepper and red pepper does not like, my Even stomach does not red like red pepper.
Huh.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. Like firecracker rub.
Yeah.
That's still my favorite. Well, I don't know. Mojo. I probably use Mojo more than I do firecracker now, but there's too much red pepper in the firecracker. Something with my stomach does not like it. It's not that hot.
Right. It's definitely not
that
hot.
It's just the red pepper does not like me.
Huh.
Or I don't
Okay. Like so what's your number two?
Maple flavored pork sausage.
Not the extra maple, the regular maple.
To be honest, I don't remember how much it tastes different. So I would just say maple.
Extra maple is my third favorite. And your third is the H110C?
Yeah.
Okay. Four for me is 1504.
I gotta look through the list here. I'm gonna probably say the W110.
I don't even know if I've ever had that.
I mean, I'm trying to remember which ones are which exactly, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that one.
I don't know that I've ever had that.
That one would probably be it. The one I want to say, but I don't remember having it, is the jalapeno pork.
Yeah.
Have we had that?
So
because that's new, isn't it?
No, it's new. It's within the last year. What happened with that was somebody ordered it in for a customer, and it was, customer said, hey, I don't want this. I didn't order this. So it was sitting back in the warehouse for months. And when we ran, when we were moving over to Big Commerce, we were looking through a bunch of Sage stuff and we're looking at different things that had like no ROP but had stock. So we found that one, put it on, and it sold, like the case of it sold in like a week or something like that. So now it's a stock item. But that would be my fifth favorite one.
I'm beeping today.
Yeah, you are beeping today.
My fifth is probably then apple. I love sausages with apple in them. It's nothing that would ever be like the top of my list, but I like including it because apple and sausage just pairs really well. I love that flavor combo.
When I was obsessed with apple bratwurst, anytime there was a chance to make a bratwurst, I always wanted to make apple brat. My problem with apple is I want it to be like the apple brat, and it's not. It doesn't taste the same as the apple brat. Because the apple brat has the actual dehydrated chunks. The apple sausage or pork sausage seasoning doesn't.
I want to say when we did our summer sausage taste test, I ranked like the blue cheese and apple like way higher than all the rest of you.
Yep.
That's just, that goes like, if it's apple in it, I wasn't going to put the blue cheese and apple ahead of two or three of the others. Yeah. But it's good. I like it.
It's all right. I just don't like blue cheese. All right. What's the story with Excalibur's MRT sausage and meatloaves? Oh, these are all questions from text, by the way. We didn't say that. What is the story with the Excalibur MRT sausage and meatloaf seasoning? I've never really hear anything about it. Does it make a good meatloaf?
To be honest, I've never used it.
Neither have I.
It's one of those things that just kind of came about. It got added along with the
Morton's replacement.
Yeah, whatever the two sugar cures are. Morton's used to make like three or four different products there, and they discontinued like all of them, and people couldn't find them, and they're like, "What the heck?" And so we talked with Excalibur, got matches made, and basically, it's as far as I know, I've never seen anybody else come out with a match, but it's basically a exact replica, more or less, of what the Morton's old seasonings used to be, and there's a lot of people that have used those for decades and decades
forever.
And they don't want to change. Yep. And so we're like, well, yeah, it may maybe doesn't sell enough for Morton's anymore, but we're not as big as Morton's. We have a niche as being better suited to the small to mid-sized guy anyways, so it fits us well, and it sells very well.
It sells very well.
Yeah,
I've never looked at it before, but it sells really well. I've had a bag of one of them, the MRT, one of the cures in there for a while, wanting to do something with it, but hopefully. So far, Google ads are going really well, I think, at least. There's a lot to set up initially, but I don't think that's going to take up a ton of time. We don't have any website transition this year, so really, there's that project you and I want to work on, but we might be able to get back to doing way more creative stuff in 2023, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
No busy work. All right. Next one. Are we ever going to do a Meatgistics meetup?
All that requires to do is you and I to lock ourselves in a room for probably 2 or 3 hours and plan it out.
I think that's wildly optimistic, 2 or 3 hours.
Well, 2 or 3 hours would get us enough to pick a day, get some ideas, and like have a direction and be moving. It would take more than that. We wouldn't be done in 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, can't do it in like September, because that's when people start hunting season. So it has to be sometime in August. We've already got an event in August. I assume we're doing another Brotfest.
Yeah.
So we've already got an event in August, so probably can't be in August. So then that puts it back in July. Hottest month of the year here.
I don't know what's better. Is it better to do it in July in the middle of summer, but before hunting season, or is it better to do it in like March?
Well, if we do it in March, it's not this March.
Yeah, but when you do that, then you're either going to compete with spring break, or you're going to compete with kids in school. And how many people? Yep. I mean, a lot of our members don't have kids anymore, right? But there's a lot of members that still do.
Well, they still have kids. They're just not kids. It's not like they
They have kids that are full grown adults. Yes. Although I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of our members that still have young kids.
I'm sure.
But it's a fairly good split on people still with kids or more closer to either older or retirement age. We definitely don't have as like a huge market of like 20 to 30 year olds. Our typical customer is going to be like 35 to 55, 35 to 65. But
I don't, so yes, probably, but there is also, I mean, there are more younger people getting into hunting and harvesting. Like, there has been this huge shift in people all of a sudden being like, oh, I need to know how to get my own food. So, I mean, that is a younger market as well. So
we're talking about some of that with Kurt Ratzliff the other day. Because BHA is definitely of the conservation groups out there, they're definitely the younger, the younger crowd. And then was talking to him and asking what he sees like with, like high schools and colleges, like the shooting sports there has blown up over the last few years. Do we see anything off that? Do we see like more BHA members specifically coming from stuff like that? People in our industry, since there's something that is booming that is related to hunting and processing meat, conservation, all that stuff, is that going to create a new like bubble in younger kids and younger adults getting out and hunting?
But yeah, definitely could. Yeah. I think social media played a big role in that, showing people that guns can be just fun. Like you got Colleen Noir, like things like that, them just reviewing guns, showing them shooting guns and like having fun with it. I think a lot of that piqued a lot of people's interest. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll go shooting for the first time. All right. So we did not answer that question at all.
So, well, are we ever going to have one? Yes. When? You didn't ask that question. So
fair enough. So yes. All right. Who is your favorite Meatgistics user and why?
Who has to answer that one?
I think that's for both of us.
Can I say Austin again?
No, absolutely not.
I'm technically user ID number one.
Nope.
I should have looked at this ahead of time.
So it's, I mean, it's obvious what he wants the answer to be.
I don't know who it is, but I tell you how I'm going to, you don't know how I'm going to pick it?
Most posts?
Nope.
Highest reputation?
Nope.
Most likes of your posts?
If I could calculate that, I would.
Do that.
Oh, and
are you going back through?
And we have a winner.
That's a fair one for you.
That's not who you think.
It wasn't who's just up? Mm-mm. Oh, okay. Who is it?
Bocephus. He has the most posts for a Team Orange member. So that is an easy way for me to pick it, that Bocephus is currently, as of today, my favorite Meatgistics member.
That's fair. That's fair. And I mean, I know I hate giving him what he wants, but I mean, when you go over a period of time, no user, in my mind at least, has done as much for Meatgistics as Tex has.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, right? Yeah. We got Process Head, Dave in Arizona, Papa Sop, Bocephus, Andy Mike, all those guys. And forgive me if I'm leaving. I mean, I know I'm leaving out Cold Lock today and a ton of other important users. But I don't think anyone else has been as kind of like integral to keeping the community alive, especially 2022. There were some periods where you and I were like hardly on there for weeks to months at a time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Tex has done a lot. He's done a lot on the community, but he also has done a lot off the community. Yep. A lot of stuff people don't see.
Yeah, for us.
That he helps us out with, gives us heads up on things.
Yep. And we use him as a test.
Helps us keep spam off the forum as well.
Yep.
A lot of stuff like that. So,
and the number of things we've given them, hey, we need you to test this. Like what? So that would be my answer. And then, okay. So his last one is, I'll rephrase because I pushed back saying I'm not answering that. It says, which of the owners would you most like to see walk away from the business and why? And this one is actually the easiest for me, and it's Brett. And it's because he deserves to retire. He's spent the majority of his adult life building this business to a point where it can be taken over. So it will be, you can call it bittersweet if you want, but like when he leaves, people are going to be set. Like it's a huge change for us, no doubt, but it is also something that he deserves to have happen. So that's that would answer. Be the one.
My first thought there, I don't know if I can pick one because technically I'm an owner. So can I pick myself on this one?
Sure, I guess you could.
So if I could, I would pick myself. And the reason why is because I won a $2 billion Powerball
so
jackpot.
So you're just making up ridiculousness now. Gotcha. All right. So from WVort fan, and at some point we have to ask him what that means because the number of times we've tried to figure that out. What are your and Jonathan's plans for next hunting season, if anything? It seems Jonathan was getting into deer hunting this season. So I absolutely plan on deer hunting again this upcoming year. I mean, definitely bow. I really do want to do a more difficult deer rifle hunt, but that's just going to take a little bit more planning. We are hopefully, but maybe not now, going pheasant hunting tomorrow, or quail hunting really tomorrow. I'll shoot a pheasant if I see it, but not a meadowlark though. But that may not happen. Go ahead.
So tomorrow's hunt's not happening.
It's not?
No.
Okay. All right. So well, at least we know now. Okay. So I come back from, I don't know, I went to lunch or something.
Do you have them here? Can we show them on
they're
camera?
They're next door. I can grab them. All right. So there were some really malicious rumors going around about me.
Malicious. They're not malicious if they're true.
They're malicious. That maybe sometimes quail that got shot by me weren't actually quail. So I don't think that's true, but just to be safe. So Austin, we had a meeting with Kurt, like he said, Kurt Ratzler from BHA. I went to lunch and I came back and these were sitting on my keyboard. It is a picture of a quail with the quail clearly labeled on it. And this is a meadowlark that says not a quail. So just to help me identify which is which, there's quail and not a quail. But now that's not a worry for tomorrow.
Yeah. So, yeah, tomorrow John and I were supposed to go hunting with Brett. Brett takes a, well, I don't know. Weekly-ish. I don't even know what to call it. Sometimes weekly. Yeah. Little hunting excursion. And so we were going to tag along with him. And he and my mom, they go, they take their two dogs. At times they take different people. They're always having somebody tag along. So we were going to go this time. But last night, my mom's dog, Bear, started having like seizures and some stuff. They were at the emergency vet with her. Then they were at Cutter's Pet Care this morning. And she has some sort of form of epilepsy or something. And so they've got her on some meds, but they're like, you need to like watch her. You need to be with her like 24/7. Yeah. No getting her excited, no doing anything. So that's kind of put a damper on things. And we don't really have a way to deal with that if we're gone. So it is what it is.
Yep.
Things happen, but we'll make it up sometime. Maybe we'll have to...
ends Tuesday.
Well, technically.
Well, I'm not going to poach, so.
No. So there's other ways around it. We could go hit up one of the, what do you call it? Like a...
Preserves?
Yeah, like a hunting preserve around the area. There's a guy that goes to my church that I haven't gone to his place for several years now, but I used to go there like two or three times a season, just because it'd be a good way to get the dogs out before the season started or get dogs out after the season ended. So that's usually when I would go, is over in like El Dorado. It doesn't take hardly any time to get there. It's like, it used to be like $60 a hunt. Yeah, I think it's now like 100, 120, 130, yeah, something like that, but it's not horrible.
It is, right. Yeah. But
maybe we'd look at something like that.
Okay. Here. All right. Then from Dog, when are you going to do a podcast or a live stream with a live audience? So we have our speakers out that Patrick and I have numerous times scheduled, but always not been able to actually do, to take the stuff it back into the shipping area and test our theory on if it'll work or not. It seems like it's going to be a fight between what sounds better, the podcast that comes out after or live for the people there. So we're trying to
We can mess with some stuff. Like we could plug directly into the board probably, but like the feedback you guys might have with our current stuff. So we might have to like plug into headphones or something like that. So I don't know. We're looking at a couple different options, but whatever's comfortable, like he's saying, we want it while you're there. Awesome. But we also want the viewers after the fact to also have a neat live experience that's not compromising to the ears.
So, right. So 100% that will happen this year.
Yeah.
We are going to make that happen.
So the second part to his question is local brewery or even just on the sales floor, interact with customers in the store or other staff. To be honest, that might be interesting. I don't know if you do that before or after. Could we do it in the store and just tell people, hey, yeah, just come by, hang out in the store, watch the podcast.
I think that's going to be for somebody who wants to come in and just get their stuff. That's going to, like, if I walked into a store trying to buy a grinder and there's a podcast going on, I'd be annoyed.
It's no different than two guys up there just talking with a customer about something they're trying to buy. There's a conversation going on.
We would have speakers.
Hold on.
No, it's...
Hold on. This is what's going to happen. You guys got a bathroom I could use?
Someone's going to come up to us.
Interrupt and just ask to use the bathroom.
Like, hey, we're talking into these microphones. Like, if we don't have speakers, then yeah, no problem.
We don't need speakers. It's close enough. We set up in a corner and I'm not planning on like 100 people showing up. I'm thinking like there's going to be like a couple dozen at the most.
Yeah.
And
so you just, your voice will travel.
Yeah. It's just,
I still think somebody across the street is a good place to do it. It's easy to get in, easy to get out. They're set up kind of for it. And if we reserve it, we can at least go over there and do a test.
Yeah. Did we talk to him yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
We can test. Let's have a, you know, I have a wedding coming up. So let's do a reception over there. Right. It's already, no. I feel like you're not hearing me out. We'll test that over there and then we can definitely tell if it's
going to work or sound. Not.
Yeah. Totally.
Who pays for this? Is it?
No. Well, I don't know why. See, it didn't cost initially. I don't know where this P word came from. Oh, that's very generous of you, John. I don't think I could ever.
Yeah, so. No, I know you could never. Okay, real quick, just funny story. Last night I was walking my dogs, saw a lady coming with two dogs. So I got off the path, walked on the other side of these cars that were parked on the side of the road. She lost control of one of her dogs, came charging at our dogs. Riggins went nuts. So the two of them are fighting. And I'm not concerned. Like, you know, dogs do this. And Riggins, I'm watching him. He's not latching on. He's just mouth open and the other dog is doing the same. So I'm like, they're just being dogs. So I managed to pull Riggins away. Brutus is 100% unbothered by any of this. And he's just walking around kind of like at the edge of his leash, but not pulling hard, just like kind of walking away. I get Riggins away from the other dog for literally a split second. It runs over twice. It does this and just sticks its nose in Brutus's butt. It's like, that's all it wanted. And then Riggins, you know, once he saw that, he went back and attacked the dog again. So she gets him, like we, you know, separate him and she gets him. She's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Whatever, you know, and I almost start walking away and she loses the dog again. Exact same thing happens. They're kind of chasing each other around. I managed to pull Riggins away where the other dog is like, okay, I don't have to fight this dog, runs right over to sniff Brutus's butt again. I'm just laughing hysterically. So,
that's whatever. Amazing.
I found that funny. All right, ready to get into meat matters?
Yep.
Okay. First story.
Are we talking about the tag on the side first? Or is that for something else?
Yeah, okay. I really do want to talk about it. And since you brought it up, what is one conspiracy theory that you 100% or you believe at least could be true? Just with the understanding that we can't talk about mine because they're going to get kicked off YouTube.
Oh, for real?
Really? Yep.
Oh.
We should test it. I don't think anyone will kick you off.
I'm not going to say that I believe in it, but two of the ones that I find the most entertaining to
Yeah, that's fine.
Listen to people and hear their arguments back and forth.
All right, I'll do my most entertaining.
Either flat earth or we didn't go to the moon. People get really heated over those two things and the arguments back and forth. I laugh.
Okay.
It's hilarious to me.
I could argue over the moon one because I know more about that just because I'm a Kubrick fan. But as far as the flat earth, I couldn't even stake a claim in that one. I don't believe so.
I love conspiracy theories, but flat earth bothers me. Flat earth and space is fake are two that I'm just like, what is wrong with you guys? My most entertaining one is that Megalodon is still out there.
Oh,
what's Megalodon?
It was like giant 70-foot great white shark.
Oh,
it was like its ancestor.
Yeah.
You know, and
there's sightings of it.
Bigger.
And there's been like some really interesting things coming out of Australia. Back in the 1910s, they had a group of, they call them crabs down there, I think, but they're lobsters, or they call them crayfish, but they're lobsters. Fishermen who came in from an expedition and every one of them, like, I'm never going back out there. And they all of them quit because they said it was this huge white head. It was an all white all white head, and it was just eating all of their pots and everything. That's said it was crazy. Bigger than their boat, and they estimated it to be somewhere in the range of 60 to 70 feet.
That's nuts.
So, and they found some teeth that they're like, hey, this tooth is only like 10,000 years old. That's not very old.
I saw something yesterday that I feel like there a new conspiracy could happen. If not, it might be one already. I'm just not aware of it. But I saw that lightning can present itself in the form of an orb that floats.
Yeah, ball lightning.
Yeah, I had no clue that was a thing. So
that's not even conspiracy. That's,
no, 100%. But could people just be confusing potential UFOs?
Sure.
For that.
Yeah.
And then even ones caught on radar, because then that it wouldn't be bound to any kind of limits of propulsion.
There was some really interesting stuff with some of that radar tracking. If you point three lasers at the same spot from the ground, it will return on radar, and then you can move it as fast as you can move your the objects or move the pointers.
Lasers would make a lot of sense with something like that. But something anyways, yeah.
Okay. All right. Going on to meat matters. That was a fun little.
If there was meat conspiracy, is there any meat conspiracies we know about? Like mad cow happened because of X, Y, and Z, or
no? That's. I mean, here's a very, I would say, real meat conspiracy. They're trying to kill the beef industry.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I would say that's not even.
I don't think that's a conspiracy.
Right. That's factual.
That people would say this,
yeah.
But it's not.
It's not.
Yeah. Right. That is definitely happening. And we're going to talk about a creepy story that has something to do with that a little bit later. But all right. First one, and I already posted this on Meatgistics. I know even in the text or in the post, I apologize to text because I know it's Meat Matters is his thing. But mountain lions are kind of my thing, I feel like, a little bit. Ex-NFL player tracks and kills a mountain lion terrorizing Colorado community. So he tracked the cat over a 9,600-foot mountain to get the kill. And this is an ex-defensive lineman, Derek Wolf. He played for Denver Broncos. The lion was 200 pounds. Now, if you talk to like wildlife biologists and stuff, they'll say maybe it can get to 200 pounds if it's got like 40 pounds of meat in its belly. So, but the cats don't get that big. Look at the size of that cat. Not that one.
That's a stock photo.
Yeah, it's a stock photo. Look at that.
That's huge.
I mean, that's a NFL defensive lineman.
Yeah, that's not a, I think I shot a big mountain lion.
Right.
No, that's, that thing's as big as that man is. That's insane.
I would say that's about as big as they get. Now, it says it's 8.5 feet, so they must measure tail to nose. They have to include the tail in it for that to be 8 feet.
Yeah, I think like if they were to like stand up entirely, but...
And then raise their paws because its legs are pretty much up and down, and it's not even as tall as him. He's not 8.5 feet tall, so they must measure the tail in there, which is reasonable. But that thing is awesome. But it says Wolf said the huge animal had been wreaking havoc in a rural neighborhood and had already killed two dogs. Now LKR Fletcher on Meatgistics said you should hear the blowback or whatever this guy is getting. This is totally legal hunt, 100% legal, 100% ethical. And people are going crazy on him for doing this. People have this unreal like belief that if you're in the wild and you see a bear, a mountain lion, if you're somewhere where there are tigers or jaguars are, that if you leave them alone, they'll leave you alone. That's not true at all. If you get a sick or old bear or cat and it sees you and it needs to eat, you're on the menu for it. Like it wants to eat. It doesn't care about you. It's not like, that person's not doing me any harm. I won't do it any harm. The deer don't do it any harm and they kill them by the, hundreds.
Yeah. Yeah.
So whatever. It did make me think about how tasty mountain lion is though. All right. Moving on. Bill Gates wants to stop cows from burping in his latest investment. So it's this company. It's Rumin 8. So it's RUMIN-8 is the name of the company. They're looking to create a new feed that will make cows have less methane in their burps. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I think like it's an okay idea, but I've got two possible issues with it. And one of them is what you feed an animal. We all know this plays a huge role in how it tastes.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to have to come up with whatever they come up with. Isn't going to be able to if it seriously degrades the taste of the meat, it won't work.
Oh yeah.
It'll get scrapped.
Well, and how are they going to get that past like the whole, that typically that side of the world in the equation and like is going to be more apt if they're going to do something that's going to be organic and grass fed and things like that. And how are you going to get that by that whole group of people? Because that, to be honest, that's who it's probably going to entertain or excite the most. But I don't think those people are going to be interested. And then you and I aren't going to be interested for other reasons. Some of it being things like taste. Yeah.
The biggest reason that I won't be interested is Bill Gates is involved. And I do not trust that man one bit. Yeah. I don't understand why we just forgot that this is a ruthless billionaire businessman. This is not some philanthropist doing things for the good of humanity. You'll never convince me of that. And I just don't trust him.
He's a bookworm. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, there's that, but he also ran one of the largest conglomerates the world has ever seen.
His character.
And he ran it ruthlessly.
His character in Family Guy was pretty nerdy, so that's what I'm basing my...
All right, so the next one is Beyond Meat Impossible food burgers are just another food fad. This is from Bloomberg. So I know it sounds insane to replace a deeply entrenched trillion-dollar global industry, he said, but it's been done before. 4 years later, when the New Yorker profiled Impossible, Pat predicted the company would take double-digit portions of the beef market by 2024 before sending it into its death spiral. Next, he would target the pork industry and the chicken industry and say, you're next. They'll go bankrupt even faster. But Big Meat is still alive and well. After Beyond went public in 2019, at the time, the most successful major initial public offering since 2008 financial crisis, competitors rushed into the space, followed by category-wide pandemic surge. Since then, the industry has plunged. Supermarket sales of refrigerated plant-based meat plummeted 14% by volume for the 52 weeks ending December 4th, according to retail data company IRI. Orders of plant-based burgers at restaurants and other food service outlets for the last 12 months ended in November were down 9% from 3 years earlier. It never really stood a chance. The under-promise and over-deliver thing is the exact opposite of what they did. I love the author of this. I would like to go out and have a beer with him.
I mean, to me, it's at least a good article, even though some people probably say it's biased, but I think it's good because they use numbers, they use facts. They're not just going, well, we don't like it. It's not something that we think is going to work.
Right.
I mean, they're showing this year, this percentage, these sales. So, yeah.
And they're not doing things like the NPR interview we talked about last week where the lady's like, well, nut milk has taken over 14% of the milk industry, so this can do it to the beef industry. Like, no, it can't.
To be honest, there's a big difference between that nut milk and milk and fake meat and meat.
Yeah.
Just because of the taste, in my opinion. Nut milk tastes different than milk, but it tastes okay.
Tastes good.
Like, there's too much of the fake meat that it may look good and it tastes horrible. Yeah. It's not even close. Like, I can stomach to eat or drink like any of the different nut milks. I'm still like, man, this isn't
right.
Milk.
It's not milk.
Like, eh. I'm like, okay, it's still drink. It's good. It's not bad. The like Beyond Beef stuff. There's some of it that's been okay, and some of it I will not eat. We've spit out
many.
Yep. Like, it's not good. We don't spit out much too.
You do.
I spit out more than you do. But when we do our Willet barbecues, we at least try to consume some things that are not very good.
I was trying to think of this the other day because somebody asked a question on restructured the fake meat. They're like, hey, has anyone ever tried making it? Did you see that one? Mm-hmm. They're like, has anyone tried making a snack stick? And I did try it and it will not work. And I'm pretty sure I actually ate what I bit off of there, but the tofu brat, I'm pretty sure that's the only thing I ever spit out. That was disgusting.
Didn't you make like a
black bean
yep. brat.
Yep.
Did that turn out okay?
It turned out all right. Like, I made it for my wife.
Yeah, but in my mind, that has a better chance than a lot of other things. Yep. Like, that's...
We used it's one of the kind of funky seasonings. I'm going to say funky, but it's like... I can't think of the name of it right now. But yeah, we used carrot fiber, we used black beans, and we used a couple other things. We ran it in the bowl chopper. It came out all right. She wasn't a huge fan of it, but I just don't think she was going to be a fan of it no matter what.
Did you have to open up like 100 cans of black beans?
No, it was quite a few. I think it was like 10 or something.
You did just do like canned though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That's cool.
All right. Next one is from The Guardian. It says, have we reached peak meat? Why one country is trying to limit its number of livestock? This is in, I believe, the Netherlands. And basically, these farmers in the Netherlands are under attack by their government. This is the same place that had the farmer, can't quite call it a rebellion, maybe a riot, a protest, where they were all showing up in the tractors and the government shot at them earlier this year. But they are now running what are known as illegal farms after a 2019 court ruling that they are not in compliance with the European Union environmental laws. This is why things like Davos and the World Economic Forum concern me so much, because why is the European Union, well, I mean, they're in the European Union, but they should be making their own laws, not adhering to some, you know, oh, the European government. No, Europe is a continent and there's countries in Europe and they should control what goes on in their countries.
Yeah, they all willingly conceded power,
though. They did.
Yeah.
Yep. So, ridiculous. Next one is the gut-brain connection. Three fatty acids may be linked to tau mediated damage. So the most annoying part about this article is they never say what the three fatty acids are.
What?
Yep. But the fatty acids were absent in mice with no microbiome and at very low levels in those that had been given antibiotics. The researchers suggest that these fatty acids were activating immune cells that damaged brain tissue. To test this, they fed three fatty acids to middle-aged mice with no microbiome. Their brain immune cells then became more active, and their brains subsequently showed more signs of tau-linked damage. So there are fatty acids that can actually hurt your brain through the gut microbiome.
That's interesting. It's crazy.
I mean, the old saying, like, how smart were people? Like, you are what you eat. They used to say that. Like, they knew something. They just didn't have the science to back up what they were saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's people for a long time, they've known a lot. They just haven't been able to, yeah, scientifically prove why this does this, why this works, why this doesn't. But
just observational,
sometimes scary. How do people come up with that? Trial and error. And how do you find out that, like, yeah, one mushroom is okay to eat?
Mushrooms is always the one that gets me, because it was just a bunch of hunter gatherers who were like, oh, Bob ate that kind and died last week, you can't eat that one. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how they figured it out. We think that's how they figured out. Maybe they were a lot smarter than that. Maybe they found out like pigs have the same, and they just feed it to a pig or something.
I
don't know, but it is absolutely amazing. Benson and Turner Food Preserves on meat processing plant, even after death of business owner. This is from Ag Week. And this is a great article. It's short, but it's a great comment by the guy who, the guy he was partnering with died, and he's going to go ahead and still open up the plant. A comment by him in the article was, "We're not going to feed the world. We're going to feed our community." And that is how more and more people should be thinking. Small, local, keep not everything within your community, but that, what is in your community is what you should really care about. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really good. Amazon is shutting down its Amazon Smile charity program in February. They're also laying off, I think, something like 20,000 workers. So if anyone's been wondering why their Amazon packages are taking longer and longer, like, Amazon Prime is no longer 2-day. Like, that's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know. There's even technically they promote that, oh, they have like same day delivery. You get, for at least for us, and Wichita's not like a small city. I mean, we're like metro area. We're one of the 30 biggest in the country.
Are we in the top 30?
Mm-hmm.
I would guess 50. Okay.
No, we're good size.
Okay.
But no same day, even though there's an Amazon warehouse literally like 3 blocks away from us here. Yeah. But
that's fine. I don't want same day. Like, I don't need that. Like, next day, 2-day, that's always been way more than enough.
So some things they're good on, some things they're not. So I ordered some like picture frames for my wife yesterday night at like 8:30. And it said I had 12 hours to place my order to still get it shipped and delivered by today. So that is the first thing I've ever seen that was that crazy. So I could have placed the order at like, I don't know, somewhere between 6 and 8 a.m. this morning, and it was still going to be here today at some point. But they also deliver till like 10 p.m.
Right. What is going on with that?
So
that's a new thing too. deliveries until 10 p.m. I'm asleep mm-hmm. at 10 p.m. I don't want anyone on my porch for any reason at 10 p.m.
Yeah. You can put instructions on Amazon as like kind of when you want your packages. Choose days. Give. Well, I don't know. Maybe everybody doesn't have that. I have a business membership.
I've never looked to see if it's there.
I might have special things on there. I don't know. If you don't have a business membership, you should sign up for one. There's nothing that says you can't. You just sign up for a business membership. There was something I was buying the other day. My wife actually bought one. And then we needed another one and she was mad. I was like, you need to let me know. We also, all our credit card points go through that, but it has to go on mine. It can't go through her. So when she wants something, I always order it for her. I'm like, from now on, it has to go through me because it was something that cost her like $60. I got a quote unquote business price for like 30.
Really?
It was insane. So yeah, sign up for a Amazon business membership. I don't think we had to do anything to verify anything. You just call it John Tremblay's company, John Tremblay Inc.
It would be some reference to El Guapo. That's everything. I told Rachel the other day, I'm like, hey, if you're ever poking through like test customers and you see El Guapo, those are always mine. All right. Are cows at sea the future of farming? This is the climate crisis from The Guardian. We've talked about The Guardian before, everything with a grain of salt. But they're putting milk, like dairy farm cows, basically out on barges that are floating in harbors. And somehow, better for the climate?
I don't understand
that. I didn't understand it either. They never explained it.
Yeah, I feel like that's just going to increase a lot of costs, but that's probably what they want to do.
It's a good point.
I don't know.
So the only coherent point they made was that it doesn't use up land. That was the only point. I was like, okay, but I don't understand.
We have a lot of land out here.
Yeah.
The people in New York City and San Francisco maybe don't realize it and they've never come to the middle of the country, but there's a lot of land out here.
There was, who was he? He's some big media personality. He was flying across the country, I guess, for the first time during the day. And he looked out and he saw fields and took pictures of it. And he's like, why does everybody's yard like done like this? And I was like, do you not know what a farm is? Is that what this is? Do you like, there are people who nobody wants to believe this if you're like at all familiar with food industry or common sense, but there are legitimately people in some of these cities who think food is from the store. Like that's just, it's where it's made.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
It's like the story that Mike Christensen with Pass It On tells, where they were one time taken out like a group of kids hunting, and kid looked out the window and was just like blown away and shocked and was like, what the heck is that thing? It was a cow.
Cow.
Right. The kid had never seen a cow before.
Yep.
Like to me, I'm like, that's very simple. I mean, I knew what a cow was when I was 2 years old.
But if you grew up in a city, never seeing any wildlife or farm life, I guess.
Yeah.
But if they're keeping them in harbors, what's around harbors a lot? Cities. Dairy farms don't smell that good. I wonder how long that's going to last until the city folks start complaining about that smell.
Maybe some people like it. I enjoy driving through like Western Kansas, smelling like feedlots. And it's like, there's the beef. There we go.
No, you don't. That's a lie. That can't possibly be true. This just kind of made me laugh. Twitter auctioned off a $16,000 piece of equipment known as the Lamborghini of meat slicers.
I didn't hear of this.
It just made me laugh. It says it in here, or I looked it up. I can't remember what it is. It's a brand we're familiar with, but I don't even think we carry or we certainly don't carry it. I don't even think we sell it. All right. This was interesting. High egg prices due to collusive scheme by supplier, group claims. So egg prices soared to historically high levels in 2022. And one group is alleging that the trend is due to something more nefarious than simple economics. Across all egg types, consumers saw average prices jump 60% last year. I feel like it's more than that. Among the largest percentages increase of any U.S. good or services, according to the Consumer Price Index, an inflation measure.
So I want to know, when they get numbers like this, how are they coming up with, oh, it increased this percentage? Because do we just have bad luck where we live? Because I'm pretty sure they over doubled here.
Yeah, they're more than twice as expensive.
Other times when we talk about prices and they're like, oh, meat changed this, food overall changed this. And I'm like, no, that maybe we're just getting the raw end of the deal. Nope. And someone over in San Francisco only had a 10% increase, but
no, I'll get in surely in San Francisco, it went up more percentage wise.
Surely ours is probably one of the lower ones
you would think,
but was it last week's podcast that we talked about some of this and how many chickens have been cold because of the bird flu, and it's actually been less over the last 3 months than it was, but we've through the time periods that it's been changing, the prices have been higher and more unstable more recently when the number has been lower.
Yep.
So it seems fishy.
Doesn't really make a lot of sense. Okay. Real quick, we're just going to run through the last because we're way over time. But Tallgrass Meat Company in Columbia wins Small Business of the Year award. I remember Casey talking here, who's I think he's the owner.
Oh, yeah.
Talking at an open house we had here, and I was super impressed by him. So I'm not surprised that somebody with like passion and knowledge has done as well. So congratulations to them. Bradford pear trees called a danger to agriculture. So invasive species of both animals, plants, huge issue. I didn't realize how much of an issue. It costs the U.S. economy $26 billion a year since 2010. So not like we don't spend $26 billion in fighting it, but when you add up like feral hogs damage to farms, insects that aren't here, plants that aren't from here causing industry issues. They add that up to $26 billion a year.
Wait, so why are Bradford pears so bad?
Because the thorn bushes, thorn trees really, and it just wreaks havoc on farm equipment apparently.
Huh, that stinks because, I mean, they're everywhere here. They look cool. They're the first ones to bloom. They hold on to leaves usually longer than a lot of other trees and grow well. I like them, but if they're hurting other things,
they're a bad thing.
Tree-like.
So this one, Buenos Aires time. Argentinian meatpacking heir wants to embed crops with animal DNA. He's trying to take soy and peas and splice in beef and pork DNA.
That just sounds dangerous, and I don't think we should do it.
What are we doing? What are we doing? That we're going to have walking plants that are going to want to eat people or something. Little Shop of Horrors is what is going to come out of this.
My personal opinion, when you try to play God, and that's what I would view this as, when you try to play God, bad things are going to happen.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Over to the side here, I have the definition of a Luddite. Luddite, that is me now. Luddites were a secret oath-based organization of English textile workers in the 19th century who formed a radical faction which destroyed textile machinery. Sign me up. Okay, that's it.
Amazing.
It is definitely visible in this one, so first person to see it gets a prize.
Am I excluded?
Yes.
Okay.
So is Patrick. All right, thanks for watching, guys. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for checking out the Meatgistics podcast. To shop everything but the meat, head on over to waltons.com. To get your meat processing questions answered by experts and enthusiasts alike, head on over to our online community at meatgistics.com. Waltons, everything but the meat.